Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Faith Forward Baptist Church for our Sunday night service. It's so good to see you all here to sing together this evening. Hymn number 2 will begin this evening. Hymn number 2. Take a songbook together and we'll turn to hymn number 2 to begin. Hymn number 2, Glory to His Name. Hymn number 2, we'll sing it out together on that first verse, down at the cross where my Savior died. Hymn number 2, let's sing it out together.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin.
Jesus so sweetly
abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood.
Start to our singing this evening. We want to ask the Lord's blessing on the service, so I've asked for the Jason Maxey, if we could listen to prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for allowing us to be in church this evening. Please bless the music as we sing praises unto you, and please bless all aspects of the service. I ask in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Up to hymn number 96. Hymn number 96. God leads us along. Hymn number 96. We'll sing it out together in that first verse. Number 96, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads us along. Hymn number 96, sing it out together now.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along.
Bye.
At this time, we'll go through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, slip up your hand nice and high. We'll get to you with one. On the inside, we have our service time. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week, we will be in 2 Chronicles chapter 23. We've got the soul winning times listed there below, as well as salvations and baptisms. Across the page are the birthdays and anniversaries for the month of October. Keep praying for our expectant ladies that they'll have a safe and healthy pregnancy and delivery. On the back, we've got the yearbook photos, of course, going on. And this will go through November 3rd. Be sure to sign up if you haven't done this yet to make sure that you don't let this slip by. And then below that, the annual chili cook-off is October 31st, 4:30 to 7:30. All chilies must be made from scratch. And chilies have to be entered by the 5 p.m. cutoff. There's also a limit of 20 chilies that we can accept into the contest. If you bring a chili beyond that, of course, we'll still eat it. But as far as the contest, obviously 20 is already a lot. And so that is a fun thing. We provide side dishes, cider. And so it's just a good time of fellowship, get together, hang out with church family. We're not putting on costumes or worshiping Satan or anything like that. So it's just a fun thing for the family as an alternative to celebrating Halloween. And then below that, we've got the missions conference coming up. Of course, this is a big one, November 6th through 10. A lot of fun things going on with that, preaching morning and night, as well as activities throughout the day. We'll give more details on that as it gets closer. But we're looking forward to that. And so hopefully you'll be able to participate in either some or all of the events associated with the missions conference. That is about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and count up the soul winning going back to Thursday. Anything to report from Thursday? Gotcha. Okay. Anything else from Thursday? How about Friday? Okay. Okay. Anything else from Friday? All right, and then how about Saturday? Gotcha. Got it. Got it. Anything else from Saturday? And then how about today, Sunday? Brother Scott. Two. Got it, got it. Okay. For North Phoenix, all right. Gotcha, gotcha. Anything else from today? All right, very good. Keep up the great work on soul winning. With that, let's sing our next song. Come lead us.
All right, you should find the insert in front of your hymnal with the hymn entitled, Though It Is Wonderful to Be a Christian. If you don't have an insert, you can raise your hand and you'll receive one. And we'll lift it up together on that verse. Life has purpose now it never had before.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. I can go directly to the Lord in prayer. As only I may boldly enter there. And He listens as His promises I plead. I find mercy there and grace for every need. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. And the hope of heaven's glory thrills me so. Where I'll live with Christ forevermore, I know. That is why the things of earth I loosely hold. My eternal riches better far than gold. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is forever reconciled.
Man, good singing, everybody. Let's go to your hymnals now to hymn number 10. Hymn number 10, Near the Cross. Hymn number 10. Number 10 begins, Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain. Hymn number 10. Sing it out to the Lord this evening.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious mountain, free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seems before me. Help me walk from day to day with the shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
We'll go ahead and pass our offering plates. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. As we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Dan as he reads Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse number 1.
Deuteronomy 5, the Bible reads, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at the time, to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have, and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me, and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them, and with their children forever. Go say to them, Get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess.
Father in heaven, thank you for your Son, which is Jesus Christ, and thank you also for the earnest of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of your children. For it is the Holy Spirit that has sealed us all your children unto the day of our redemption. I pray that you please bless Pastor Anderson with the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit as he preaches your word so that we, your children, would become better and better Christians with every passing day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Man, the title of my sermon this evening is Honor Your Father and Mother. Honor Your Father and Mother. Now, if you care what the Bible says, then you are in the right place tonight. If you actually base what you believe on what the Bible says, and you have a biblical worldview based on what the scripture actually explicitly says, then you're in the right place, because that's what we do here at Faith Forward Baptist Church. The Bible is preached, the Bible is taught, the Bible is believed, and we don't go to the church of, come on, guys, really? I mean, come on, you believe this? Okay, we care about what the Bible says in black and white in this book. And let me tell you something. The Bible clearly teaches that you are required to honor your father and mother. That is a command of God. Amen. Nowhere in this entire book are you going to find some kind of an exception to that, saying, well, honor your parents as long as you like them. Honor your parents because you think they're good parents. Honor your parents when they're being honorable in your opinion, and you can judge your parents and decide whether to honor them or not. No, if you actually read the text of Scripture, it just says, Honor your father and mother, period. That's what the Bible says. And we're going to see it tonight. We're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight. We're starting out here in the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the implication here is that if you do not honor your father and mother, you're not going to prolong your days. You're not going to live a long life. And not only that, it's not going to go well for you, according to scripture. You've got to honor your parents. Now flip back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. Just a few pages to the left in your Bible. We're going to find another instance of the Ten Commandments being given besides Deuteronomy. Back in Exodus chapter number 20, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures all over the Bible. Every genre of scripture deals with the subject. We're going to be in the Gospels, epistles, prophets, historical books. I mean, you know, we're going to go everywhere. Okay, look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And you say, well, that wasn't really worth turning to because we just read the same thing in Deuteronomy 5. Well, but I wanted to get you in this neighborhood so you could just turn one page to the right in your Bible to chapter 21. Because in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, we can see how seriously it is, or how seriously God takes it when you attack your parents. Okay? Because the Bible does not teach anywhere that it's right for you to attack your parents for any reason. Okay? Look what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15. He that smiteth his father, and smite is another word for hitting them. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's pretty serious, right? If you hit your parents, you will be put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. So kidnapping is also the death penalty. And then the next verse, 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Even if you do not physically attack your parents, if you curse your parents, the Bible says you should be put to death. This is a sin unto death. Okay? These are facts. It's funny because I read these verses and I don't even have to explain them. They're just so simple. They're just so easy. You just read them and everybody's just like, yep. Mm-hmm. Super easy, because you know what? When you're standing on the side of right and truth and the word of God, it's not hard to make your point. You just read a verse. You don't have to twist scripture and explain everything and use all these unbiblical, psychological, psychobabble terms. You can just see what the Bible says. Hey, if you hit your parents, you should be put to death. Hey, if you curse your parents, you should be put to death. Very simple. Now, if you would, flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Now, you say, what does it mean to curse your parents? Well, the biblical definition of curse, because if you look up curse in the dictionary, it's going to have a whole bunch of different definitions, different situations, or different ways that people use this word. But the biblical way that this word is used, the dictionary definition is to wish or invoke evil, calamity, injury, or destruction upon. It's basically wishing harm upon someone or wishing destruction or calamity. You wish that something bad would happen to someone. That is cursing them. So, for example, if I said to you, may you slip on a banana peel, that is a curse. If I said, you know what, I hope you lose your job, that is a curse. That's cursing you, right? If I said, hey, may you get struck by lightning, that is a curse. That is what it means to curse someone. Again, I'm going to read the dictionary definition. To wish or invoke evil, calamity, injury, or destruction upon. And the Bible says that if you curse your parents, then you should be put to death. Now, this shows that God is serious about children honoring their father and mother. And when he says, honor your father and mother, don't smite your parents, don't curse your parents, it's very clear in scripture. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 27:16. It says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. So, what does it mean to set light by father or mother? The modern vernacular way of saying this would be to make light of father and mother, to basically disdain, mock, ridicule, you know, drag them down, treat them with disrespect. So I don't want you to miss this point, friend. Okay, we're preaching the Bible tonight. Don't miss this. If you curse your father and mother, the Bible says that that is a sin that should be punishable by death. But the Bible commands all of God's people to curse those who disrespect their parents. Now, just stop and read the Bible. Not only does the Bible say if you curse your parents, you should be put to death, but actually the Bible commands God's people to curse those who are disrespectful to their parents. Because the Bible, look, I'm sorry, look down at your Bible because that's what it says. It literally says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Every one of God's people is supposed to say, yes, let the person who sets light by father or mother be cursed. Is this what's being preached today in Baptist churches? Is this what's being preached today in my so-called pastor friends' churches? Is this what's being preached today in independent, fundamental, King James, soul-winning Baptist churches? No, but it's what the Bible says. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. We all know the famous scripture in Galatians chapter 1. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. But how about this? Cursed be he that setteth light by father or mother, and all the people shall say amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Why? Because the same people that are going to speak kindly to your face and praise you and lavish you with praise and flattery are the same people that will turn around and be a talebearer behind your back and backstab you and gossip about you and so forth. Verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Flip over, if you would, to chapter 30 of Proverbs. Just a few pages to the right in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 30. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. Another way of saying that they're super prideful and arrogant. Look at verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. And here's the thing, my friend. We just look at scripture after scripture after scripture. Honor your parents. Don't make light of your parents. Don't curse your parents. Don't disrespect your parents. You need to bless your parents. This is what the Bible says repeatedly. Look, if you would, at Micah chapter number 7. Micah chapter number 7, minor prophets. You have all these short books, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, all those. Find Micah shortly before the New Testament. Micah chapter number 7. I'm going to start reading while you turn there. Verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. Is this godly? Is this Christian? Is this what the Bible prescribes? No. The son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Flip over to Malachi. You're in Micah. Just go a few pages to the right to the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6. Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6 says this, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Look at Matthew chapter 15. Let's get into the New Testament. But I think that the Old Testament's pretty clear on this subject, isn't it? You got to honor your parents. Is this a little thing? Is this a big thing? Hey, it's the first commandment with promise. that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And God is saying, like, look, you need to honor your father and mother. Now, look, don't you think a lot of people have problems with their father and mother, or a father and mother that have problems? So why doesn't the Bible say, well, honor your father and mother when it's convenient? Honor your father and mother when you think they're right. Honor your father and mother when society likes them. Honor your father and mother when you think they're doing a good job. No, the Bible says honor your father and mother, period. And I defy you to show me any scripture otherwise, but you don't have any scripture. Because this is what it says. How seriously does God take this? Well, how about this? You physically assault your parent, you should be put to death. You verbally assault your parent in the sense of cursing them, you should be put to death. It doesn't really get more serious than that in God's law. That's the biggest punishment that there is, the death penalty. Right. Not only that, God has put a curse on anyone who disdains their parents, and he even required all of the people of Israel to all pronounce that same curse in Deuteronomy upon entering the promised land. We must all agree to curse those who set light by father and mother. That's what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 27. It's right there. In Scripture, we know that there's a generation that does curse their father and doesn't bless their mother. And we know that the eye that mocks at his father makes fun of his father and despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. This is referring to the fact that you're going to die in an accident. You're going to die young and you're going to die in an open field where you're going to be eaten by wild animals as opposed to being properly cared for and buried. This is not a pretty sight. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 says this, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. It looks like Jesus Christ is putting his stamp of approval on Exodus chapter 21 right there. And this goes back to what we were talking about this morning, that Jesus did not come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. And so he's basically saying, well, this is what God commanded, but what you're doing is you are putting your tradition above God's word, right? So God's word says, honor your father and mother. And whosoever curses his father or mother, well, let him die the death. But you have an exception to that, don't you? You have an exception to that, you know, that this guy, you know, he can say to his mother and father, Korban, everything. No. God, Jesus said there's not an exception to that. This is what the Bible says. The Bible just says you honor your father and mother. And whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Okay, this is what the Bible says. But today, people have their own tradition, don't they? They have their own culture. They have their own opinion. They have their own tradition. They have their own views, and those trump the word of God, right? The Bible tells you, hey, you got to honor your father and mother, but then they say, oh, no, but if your parents abuse you, now you don't have to. Where does the Bible say that? Where does the Bible talk about parental abuse? Where does the Bible talk about child abuse? Can somebody please show me where in the Bible it talks about child abuse? And you know what? It's called disciplining your kids. It's not child abuse. It's called disciplining them. Well, I just don't like the way that you discipline. Nobody asked you your opinion. Because you know what? At the end of the day, your opinion's unbiblical. And I'm going to get to that later in the sermon anyway. But the bottom line is, this crap, everybody's abused now. Everybody's an abuse victim. Everybody's traumatized. It's not in the Bible. You have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment to believe that. And I'm going to get to that later in the sermon. And so the Bible, if you would flip over to Mark 7, we'll see the same thing. Mark chapter 7. And again, everything I'm showing you tonight is just black and white, isn't it? So clear, so easy, so simple. No twisting of scripture required. We don't have to get out, the 1828 dictionary and tell you that a scourge isn't really a scourge and beat doesn't really mean beat and all these stupid things. No, we're just reading the Bible and it's as plain as the nose on your face. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 9, he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. You know, so that you can make society happy, so that you can make America happy, so you can make 2024 happy, so that you can make your little buddies happy and the internet happy. No, my friend, I am going to follow the Bible, and I'm not going to let someone bully me into not following the Bible. Amen. Honor your father and mother. It's that simple. There's no exception to this. Ephesians chapter 6, if you would turn there. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to go to both places. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll start reading it while you get there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What is the Bible saying here? First of all, children have to obey their parents. If the parent says, you're not going to go there, they can't go. If the parent says, you can't date that guy, they can't date that guy. If the parent says, go to bed at this time, they have to go to bed at that time. If the parent says, do this chore, well, it's just too many chores. It doesn't matter. Children, obey your parents because it's right. If a parent says, your vacation's over, you're coming home early, you will come home early. This is what the Bible says. You obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Right? Now, then the Bible addresses fathers. He says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As parents, we are commanded to love and nurture and raise our children, admonish them, teach them, train them, feed them, clothe them, take care of them. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. That's our job as parents. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to provoke our children unto wrath. But idiots out there will interpret this as, oh, your kids got mad? You provoked them to wrath. Oh, your kid's angry? You provoked them to anger. So every single person who's angry, it must have been their parents provoked them to anger. Or maybe they're a disobedient, rebellious punk. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether or not your parents, in your mind, in your opinion, provoked you to wrath. The Bible doesn't say, children, obey your parents unless they provoke you to wrath. The Bible doesn't say, honor your father and mother unless they provoke you to wrath. Think about the same passage of Scripture also has instructions for husbands and wives. And what does it say to husbands? Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Wives, submit to your husbands. Be obedient to your own husbands. Now, let me ask you this. What if the husband doesn't love his wife? Does she still have to submit to him? Absolutely. What if the wife is not submissive to her husband? Does he still have to love her? Is he still commanded not to be bitter? Or is it okay for him to not love his wife and be bitter against her because she's not submissive? You see, I guarantee you that the vast majority of people, if I said, hey, what if a guy has a wife who won't submit? She's not being submissive. Is he still supposed to love her? Everybody would be like, absolutely. But then if you said, hey, if a husband doesn't love his wife, does she have to submit? No. No, she shouldn't have to. Because we live in a society that always is against authority. You have a husband and wife, they're going to side with the wife. Parents and children, I swear it's for the children. It's always siding against God-ordained authority. Because they despise dominion. Despise government, they despise authority, they despise God. I think that anybody who reads Ephesians 5 and 6 understands that whether or not the wife upholds her end of the bargain, the husband is required to uphold his end of the bargain. And vice versa. Whether or not the husband upholds his end of the bargain, the wife still has to uphold her end of the bargain. Because it doesn't say submit to your husband if he loves you. It doesn't say love your wife if she submits. Now, let me just debunk some stupidity that's being taught out there, even amongst independent fundamental Baptist churches. Let me just debunk some stupidity for you and help you with this, okay? Let me explain something to you. Let me give you a little dose of reality, okay? You can be a great husband who loves his wife and is not bitter, works hard, does everything right, and is just a great leader and a great husband and a great guy, faithful, good breadwinner, kind, loving, gentle, and have a rebellious female dog of a wife. It's sad, but true. And also, on the flip side of that, you can be a godly, righteous, meek, submissive wife who loves your husband, loves your children. You're serving him. You're kind unto him. You're good unto him. And you can have a total jerk of a husband who treats you like crap and maybe even leaves you. But the stupidity that's being taught is, oh, well, if as long as you, husband, as long as you love your wife, she's automatically going to submit. Oh, well, oh, as long as you submit to your husband, well, he's automatically going to love you and be a great husband. If only it were so simple. If only it were that easy. You know, and I'll never forget sitting and listening to a young guy tell me, I don't understand why, what's so hard about marriage. I mean, just love your wives. And watching that man get married 6 months later and his marriage lasted a matter of weeks. He was literally, his marriage was completely over in a month or two after he told us how it's just so simple. And I'm talking about somebody from this church right here who sat across the table from me and said, I don't understand what the big deal is. Just love your wives. Piece of cake. How'd that work out for him? Not at all. And let me tell you something. That is not the way the world works because you cannot control other people. You will never be able to control other people. You might think that you can, but you can't. And let me tell you something. You can be an awesome husband and your wife rebel against you anyway. You can be an awesome wife and have a husband that's a jerk anyway or even forsake you. It is out there in this world. You don't have to believe it. You're wrong. It's reality. And there's no place in the Bible that tells you, well, you only have to do your part if the other person does their part, or if you do your part, you're guaranteed that the other... I mean, think about, what if you're married to a jerk? You obeying God is just suddenly just going to make him obey God? How does that even work? Or vice versa. People that are teaching this are wrong. And it's easy to pontificate and say, oh, well, you know, you just have a screwed up marriage. You're just a bad husband. It's like, well, you know what? Guess what? The world's filled with people with screwed up marriages. And the world's filled with people with screwed up kids and all kinds of problems. That's the world that we live in. We're living in a fallen, sinful world. And those are the problems that people are dealing with. People are dealing with real problems out there. They're dealing with adultery. They're dealing with fornication. They're dealing with gambling addiction, porno addiction, drug addiction. I mean, this world is filled with messed up situations. But it's just, oh, just love your wives. That's just going to fix everything. No, love your wives is a command of God. You do it because God told you to do it. Okay? Is it going to improve your situation? Hopefully, probably. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You do it because it's right. You do it because you're commanded to do it. You say, well, is submitting to my husband going to make him be a thoughtful, wonderful, great husband? Doesn't matter. Do it because the Bible said to do it. And so what we have to understand is that these commandments are not contingent upon other people. It's not like, well, honor your parents because they honor you or something like that. And by the way, I still can't find this verse in my Bible. Honor thy son and daughter. I'm having trouble finding it. And what's funny is that the people right now that are championing this verse of giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, which is a great verse, that we should give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, are the same people that are completely ignoring the scripture that says to honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother doesn't matter, but let's just keep talking about giving honor to the wife. Well, here's the thing about that is that I think we should honor our wives. And you know what? You know what I think it looks like when you're not honoring your wife? One of the ways that it looks like is people talking crap about their wife. It always makes me cringe when I hear a man complaining about his wife to other men. It's embarrassing. It's wrong. Right? Look, if you're sitting there and talking smack about your husband to other people, talking smack about your wife to other people, that is dishonoring them. You are dragging their name and reputation in the mud. That is wrong. Keep it. Well, who am I supposed to talk to about this stuff? Tell it to Jesus alone. You forgot that part of the song. Tell it to Jesus alone. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you know, over in Ephesians 6, it said, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, provoke not your children to wrath. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So are servants only supposed to be obedient to their masters when their master's a good master? If he's a kind master? No, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You see, the Bible says that we're even supposed to obey authority even when the authority is not a good authority, right? Like your boss at work isn't cool, obey him anyway because he's the boss. Obey your parents. Wives, obey your husbands. Servants, obey your masters. Right? Employees, obey your bosses. This is what the Bible says. And don't miss this next part, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Look, if you suffer wrongfully at the hand of authority and you patiently endure it, God is pleased with that. Amen. God looks down and he sees you suffering wrongfully at the hand of your authority. And by the way, 99% of the time when people think that they're suffering wrongfully, it's just them whining out of their own stupidity of not understanding where authority is coming from. But it says that if you do endure grief, suffering wrongfully, that's thankworthy. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that's acceptable with God. See, God's not impressed because you got spanked for sinning and you took it patiently. How much less is he impressed when you got spanked or buffeted for your faults and then you go on YouTube and whine about it? Stop and think about this. I mean, does anybody think that I spanked my kids for being good? You were good. You were a good kid today. You're getting a spanking. You know what? They got punished for being bad. They got punished for things like lying, stealing, right? They got punished for serious things. Disobeying, defying their parents, refusing to obey, stealing, did I mention? Lying, right? These are things that you discipline your kids for. And here's the thing about that is that teenagers are looking for a boundary. And if parents don't show them a boundary, the police will. Seriously. Teenagers are looking for a boundary, and if their parents don't show them a boundary, the police will. You go to high school, and you know what you're going to find? I was in high school. You've all been to high school. You know what you're going to find in high school? This is what you're going to find. Fornication, drugs, alcohol, vandalism, stealing, violence, gangs, fist fighting. Am I right? Here's the thing about my family is that my teenagers were not involved in drinking, drugs, fornication, gambling, vandalism, all these things. Why? Why were they not out fornicating and drinking and taking drugs and doing these things? Because they were living in my home, and when they started to go down those type of paths, or if they started to have sinful tendencies or do something wicked or commit a serious sin, they got whipped. And then it stopped them in their tracks because they found a boundary with me. We had rules. We enforced the rules and we kept them in line so that they would not be out there doing some of the horrific things that teenagers do. But here's the thing. Let's say your parents whipped your butt because you did wrong. And you endure it patiently and you just deal with it and suck it up, buttercup. Well, guess what? God's not even impressed. God's only impressed when you get spanked for something that you didn't do and you still shut up and take it like a man. I don't know. Do we all have the same Bible tonight? I know we all have the King James Version, right? What glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults? Please tell me all about how you were spanked for disobeying your parents. Not impressed. Even if you took it patiently, we wouldn't be impressed. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Let's back up to verse 18 again. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Why would I believe for one second that God wants you to dishonor your parents because they're not good and gentle, because they're froward? If he says servants are to submit to their masters, even if they are froward. I mean, who has more authority over someone? A parent over their child or a master over their servant? Stop and think about this. And you know what's funny? All of this lying garbage that supposedly these kids just got so whipped and everything. You know, have you ever seen those slave photos? Right? You could go on Google and look at the Google images of slaves. Like, I'm talking about the black slaves that were mistreated, right, in the South. And who knows what I'm talking about? Those photos where their backs are toe up. That's what you'd expect. If people are being beaten bloody, that's what their back would look like. You know what it'd be like? It'd be like Rambo taking off his shirt in the prison cell or something. What's this guy been into? But you know what? All of their skin is all as smooth as a baby's bottom on their backs, where they supposedly just flogged so mercilessly. Funny how their backs are all just so smooth and nice. Because they lying, that's why. And look, I'm not saying I didn't spank my kids. I'm not saying I didn't whip my kids, because I did. I followed the Bible. I disciplined my kids. I kept them out of trouble. And I sent them out of my home, saved, healthy, well-spoken, well-educated, productive, well-trained, on a career path, and they should spend the rest of their lives thanking me for preparing them so well for life. But there's a generation that curses their father and doesn't bless their mother. But I'm sorry to confuse you with the Bible. The Bible says that you have to honor your parents, and it doesn't matter whether you think that they did a good job or not. First of all, that's not even your decision. Now, if you would go to Isaiah chapter 1, I'm just going to hurry for sake of time. Isaiah chapter 1. But in Deuteronomy 21, famous passage, I'll just read it for you. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones. Isn't it interesting that the Bible doesn't say, you know, when these parents have a child, they're disciplining him, they're chastening him, and he's refusing to obey. And they bring the stubborn, rebellious child to the elders of the city and say, this guy is a drunk and a glutton, and he will not listen, he will not obey. You know, it's funny they're not saying, you're a bad parent. Who's in trouble here, the parents? No. You know, I'm sorry to confuse you with the Bible. And by the way, let me say this. You say, well, your kids didn't even do anything that bad. Why'd you have to be spanking them so hard if they didn't even do anything that bad? Okay, well, let me say this to you. It's sort of like this dandruff commercial for Head & Shoulders shampoo from the 80s. Head & Shoulders dandruff shampoo. And the guy sees in the locker room, the guy with the dandruff shampoo, he says, hey, I didn't know you had dandruff. You know, why are you using Head & Shoulders? You don't have dandruff. And he says, exactly. Yeah, you're right. My kids weren't doing horrible things because I disciplined them. That's why they weren't doing really bad things. Because when they would do something medium bad, they would get seriously disciplined and get back on the right path. Now, I want to say this tonight. I just turned to Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah, then I'm going to say what I want to say. Isaiah, and by the way, again, you know, I was kind of making a big deal about how Sermon on the Mount is kind of the first sermon in the New Testament, which kind of gives it a place of prominence, or like Genesis 1, the first chapter, gives it a place of prominence, right? Well, here's the thing. Isaiah is kind of a big book in the Bible. It's a really popular book. It's an important book. It's one of the books that gets quoted a lot in the New Testament. It's kind of the quintessential major prophet, you know. Isaiah's a big one. And it's interesting how Isaiah starts out with this thought in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I've nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. Well, God, stop. What did you do wrong as a parent, though, God? You're bad. And you know what's funny is that I saw somebody posted a clip of a guy. He's a Presbyterian pastor who was saying that in the prodigal son story, the dad is the bad guy and that the dad needs to apologize to the prodigal son. That's the day we're living in. So the Lord says, I've nourished and brought up children and they've rebelled against me. So what did you do wrong, God? It must be your fault. You provoked us to wrath, God. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people did not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Who provoked who to anger? In this case, the child provoked the parents to anger. And you know what? People want to know why I'm mad. You'd be mad, too, if you had people lying about you and slandering you and saying all these evil things about you if you were being dishonored by your children, you'd be upset, too. Why should you be stricken anymore? What does stricken mean? This is the past tense of strike. Okay? Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Now let me stop and say this. Some of my so-called pastor friends, and with friends like these, who needs enemies, have said and done some biblically stupid things lately. And let me just call this out. And let me first of all say that not all of my pastors, obviously many of my pastor friends have been super encouraging to me, super supportive of me. And then there are the other kind. But let me say this, when you have multiple Baptist pastors, and I don't want you to miss this part of the sermon, multiple Baptist pastors who are saying, quote, I side with the children. I side with the victims, parentheses, children. You have to be biblically stupid in three areas to make that statement. Three totally different areas that each get their own sermon. Are you listening? Three areas that all get their own sermon. You have to be, and look, this isn't about what you believe, what you don't believe, he said, she said, this, that, or the other. No. Forget all that for a second. We're talking about solid ground here of standing on the Word of God. Because you know what? The Word of God does not change from situation to situation. The Word of God just says some things that are concrete. And there are three areas where you have to be biblically stupid to side with the children. And any pastor who's saying that they side with the children or side with the victims is biblically stupid in three major doctrinal areas. Let's go through them together now, shall we? Area number one, and if you would go to John chapter 2. Area number one where you have to be biblically stupid to side with the children is that you have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. I didn't say you have to reject corporal punishment, because of course they're all going to believe in their little watered down version of corporal punishment. You have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. Okay? Well, we're for spanking the kids. Really? Because I can't find the word spank in my Bible. Can't find it. Old Testament, can't find it. New Testament, can't find it. You have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. Now, I just preached a whole sermon a couple weeks ago called Corporal Punishment in the Bible. Go listen to that sermon, and I went through all the scriptures on corporal punishment. You would have to reject all of those biblical teachings on corporal punishment in order to say, well, what these kids are describing is abuse. And let me tell you something. First of all, number one, what they're saying is not true. Now look, obviously some of it's true. Obviously all the best lies mix in truth. So of course, yeah, some of the things are true. I've said that from the beginning. Some of it is based on a kernel of truth that's embellished and exaggerated and distorted to the point where it's not true at all anymore. And some of it is just outright lies. So I don't want you to misunderstand me and say that I'm saying what they're saying is true. What the picture that they are painting is the furthest thing from the reality of what my house is actually like. Painting me like I'm just some drill instructor from hell. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm the exact opposite of that. And that I am a super chill person. Mine own enemies themselves being witness to that. My quote, contrary to popular belief, my dad's not an angry person. He's a really chill guy, and he would usually lose his temper about once or twice a year. Now, once or twice a year, I think that's pretty good. Yeah. Sorry, but I do. Not trying to brag, but I'm pretty chill. Hang loose, baby. I'm from California, okay? But here's the thing about, obviously the picture that they're painting is garbage. But don't miss this. But again, hey, these people want to believe all women or whatever. These people want to hashtag believe all women, hashtag me too. Okay, fine. But let me say this. You have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment, because even if what they were saying, even if everything they were saying were the gospel truth, which is absurd, but even if what they were saying is the gospel truth, it does not violate scripture. Amen. And if it does, show me chapter and verse. And don't give me some vague verse about, well, the Bible just says, provoke not to wrath. That's subjective. That's your opinion, how you can interpret that however you want. That's just God saying, hey, be nice to your kids and treat them well. Done. You have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. The Bible literally says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? So the Bible's using a father physically disciplining his son as a metaphor or for the heavenly father disciplining us. Figuratively speaking, right? But there's a literal father literally punishing his child. And it says, whom the Lord loveth, he scourges. Now, of course, these bozos are coming out and saying, scourge doesn't really mean scourge. They're saying scourge isn't whip. That's not what it is. Okay, well, let's see what the Bible says. Look at John chapter 2. Let me get there myself. John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's see what scourge means. This is Jesus. And when he, Jesus, had made a scourge of small, the bad word. When he had made a scourge of small cords. Now, look, correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like a scourge is a scourge. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like it's made out of cords. But you reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. Beat him with the rod, scourge him, the blueness of the wound. Oh, no, it's abuse. Show me in the Bible. And again, I am not guilty of the things that I'm being accused of. But even if I were, you would have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment to say, I side with the victims. Isn't it funny that all of these kids are totally healthy, No permanent damage, no tore up back, no Rambo chest, nothing. So what's the problem? What are we talking about here? So number one, you have to look, again, let me back up. Any pastor who says, I side with the children, let's name the names. Jared Pazarnski, Jason Robinson, and Pastor who? Also known as Salvador Alvarez. Okay, let's name the names, right? Salvador Alvarez, Jason Robinson, Jared Pazarnski. I side with the children, I side with the victims. Okay, you're biblically stupid in three areas. Number one, you're biblically stupid because you reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. And I don't care what you want to make the word of God void through your tradition. Not my problem. I believe this book. I believe the Bible. But number two, here's the second area where you have to be biblically stupid, and that's tonight's sermon. You would have to believe that it's okay to you, for you to participate in children dishonoring their parents. Stop and think about this. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And then you have a YouTube video of a child dishonoring their parents by anyone's definition. Any definition of dishonoring your parents, everyone would agree. There's no faith required. It's just, this is a video of a child dishonoring his or her parent. If you are promoting that video, if you are telling people, watch the video, and by the way, Dave Berzin said, go watch the video. Listen to all the testimony. Listen to all these things. Watch it. If you're saying, go listen to a video of a child dishonoring their parents, then you are a partaker of their evil deeds. You are a talebearer. And you are bearing false witness. Amen. But even if you say, well, it's all true. It's all true. Okay, so if it's true, are you allowed to talk bad about your parents? Like, I guarantee you that I could come up with bad stuff about my parents. Do you? Who thinks that I should, after church, make a YouTube video saying every bad thing I know about my parents? Just going back through my memory logs, let me just come up with every bad thing that I know about that my dad has ever done, every bad thing that my mom has ever done. Should I make that video? Well, maybe Pastor Alvarez will share it. Maybe he'll add it to the playlist. I don't care if your mom is a crack whore. There is no reason for you to make a YouTube video. Oh, I just want to say what a gross crack whore my mom is. It's wicked. Amen. How biblically stupid do you have to be to say, let's help children disobey their parents. Let's help children dishonor their parents publicly. You are wicked. You are participating in it. When you're saying, here, watch this video. Here, I mean, Pure Words Baptist Church. Pastor Salvador Alvarez sharing it as the church. Like literally on Facebook, Pure Words Baptist Church says, here's a playlist of all the videos of the children dishonoring their parents. The first video on the playlist, video number one, is a son saying about his father, calling him, quote, a mother effer. So is that honor? Is that how you honor your parents? No. That's just one tiny example. So you got a child calling his parent a mother effer. And you're going to post that as Pure Words Baptist Church. Like, folks, the biggest issue here isn't the language. Because I don't care how you worded that. Calling your dad that is super disrespectful, super dishonorable, super sinful. Because I could get up and say, what if someone got up and said, well, my dad's a mother futterer or something, and just use a different word? Right? Would that be okay? No, because you know what? It is wicked. It is dishonoring. It is disrespectful. It is ungodly. Like, what kind of an insane world are we living in where a church says, hey, watch this?
kid calling his dad names. Bringing out, dragging out every story from 15 years ago, 12 years. Whatever happened to just, you know, honor your father and mother. Obey your parents. Like, look, look. And you know what? I'm so sick of people coming up to me telling me about, oh, my parents were this. But shut up and don't ever talk that crap to me again. I don't want to hear crap about your wife. I don't want to hear crap about your husband. I don't want to hear crap about your parents. I want you to shut up and honor the authority in your life. And here's the thing. If your parent is a rapist or a murderer or a child molester, call the police. Call the police. Amen? If your parent is a murderer, a rapist, a child molester, call the police. Otherwise, shut up. But you know what's funny is that the police come to my house multiple times a week. I mean, we know them all now. We don't got a donut, but we got pretzels. We know all the police. We know all the CPS. And you know what? When they come to my house, you know what I do? I say, come on in. CPS comes up. Come on in. Come on in. Sit down. Let's talk. Let's hang out. Well, let's get the kids in here. Let's have a party. Let's go. Because you know what? When you actually go through the proper channels, this stuff would be laughed out of any courtroom in America. Because here's the thing about actual authority. Here's the thing about actual witnesses. Oh, the witnesses. There's so many witnesses. Here's the thing about witnesses is that in real life, they actually get cross-examined. And you know what? They get caught in a bunch of lies. And when they're lying, you cross-examine them, you bring up all the evidence, they face their accusers, and the contradicting evidence is brought out, and they get cross-examined, and they get impeached. And they're found to be unreliable. And they're found to contradict one another. Not just, oh, let's just go on YouTube and judge in the court of public opinion. No, you go to the but we went to the church, and the church didn't do anything. That's because the church knows you're full of crap. We went to the police, and the police won't do anything. It's because the police know you're full of crap. Went to CPS, CPS won't do anything. Because CPS knows you're, you get it. You know what they know. So number one, these pastors have to, number one, reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. And they have to say scourge doesn't really mean scourge, beat doesn't really mean beat, and all these different things. Number two, they have to make the decision to participate in someone dishonoring their parents. And you know what? I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I hope you'll pray it with me. Okay? I'm going to pray this prayer right. I'm going to get on my knees and pray this right now. All right? Dear Lord, I pray that you would punish every single person who is helping my children dishonor their parents as if they had dishonored their own parents. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You say, why did you just pray that? Well, because Deuteronomy 27, that's why. And you know what? If you participate in someone else's sins, the Bible says do not be partaker in other men's sins. And you know what? If people are going to sit there and promote a video of someone, I don't even have to pray that because it's going to happen anyway. If you sit there and promote someone dishonoring their parent, aren't you participating in dishonoring the parent? But you'd have to be biblically stupid to say, well, it's okay to dishonor your parents in this situation because of abuse. Where is that in the Bible? It isn't. But the other side doesn't have Bible. All they can do is twist scripture, tell you that scourge doesn't mean scourge, beat doesn't mean beat, and then they'll just take a vague verse, don't provoke your children to wrath, and that means what I want it to mean. Give honor to your wife, and that means what I want it to mean. No, my friend, that's not the way the Bible works. The Bible, see, here's the thing. The Bible has 31,000 verses in it. If God wanted to break down to us these things, he would. It's not like the Bible is just giving us so little to go on. There's a lot to go on here. If you can't find something in the Bible when there's 31,000 verses, it's because it isn't there. This is a long book. So number one, you have to reject the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. Number two, you have to openly, actively participate in someone dishonoring their parents. And number three, You have to make the decision. Here's another, and this one I haven't preached this sermon yet. This sermon's coming to a pulpit near you. The third area you have to be biblically stupid is that you have to judge people over whom you have no authority and teach other people to judge those over whom they have no authority. The Bible does not just say, judge everyone. Judge other people. You see, I can't go to someone else and say, well, I don't think that the way that you handle your wife is correct. I want you to run your marriage the way I run my marriage. What right do I have? I don't have the right to say to a parent, you're disciplining your children too harshly. Let me take your kids away. Or you're disciplining your children too leniently. Let me take your kids away. You know what? The Bible clearly teaches that there are certain areas where we are qualified to judge or have jurisdiction to judge. And that the Bible says we are not allowed to judge another man's servant. To his own master he standeth or falleth. I mean, I have an idea. Why don't we have schools start having the students grade the teachers? Right? The students can grade the teachers. Maybe employees can start evaluating their supervisors and deciding on their pay grade and so forth. No, that's a backward world. Because in reality, God is on the side of authority. The parents decide what is right in the home, not the children. It's not the children's right. Well, I just think that my parents were too strict. I just think that my parents spanked me too hard or whatever. Oh, nobody cares. Nobody who actually knows what the Bible says cares, because they would know that that is up to the authority in that home. The parents make the decisions. The husband makes the decision. I mean, who decides what is the right level of discipline? Who decides that? Who makes that decision? You know what? And it's my wife and I, we loved and cared for and nurtured and raised up these children, and we loved them and sacrificed for them and did so much good unto them, and we tried our hardest to be the best possible parents that we could possibly be, and we tried to have the appropriate level of discipline because we don't want them to just go out and do all these horrible, sinful things. And so, but we obviously don't want to overdo it either. But again, overdoing it is subjective. That's an opinion. But we tried our best to find that balance. Obviously, we weren't perfect. Obviously, we're not sinless. Obviously, we didn't make zero mistakes in parenting. And I've never claimed to have made zero parenting mistakes. Here's the claim that's made. We were great parents. We are great parents. We are not good parents. We are great parents. Okay? I am a good husband. Sorry, great husband. And you know, you say, oh, you're bragging. No, I'm defending myself up here because there is a satanic attack coordinated by multiple people right now seeking to destroy me. And I have the right to get up and defend myself. And you know what? I'm not saying I've been a perfect husband because I haven't. I haven't been a perfect parent. She hasn't been a perfect parent. But let me tell you this, though, is that we have been great parents. And if this is not good enough, if what we've done over the last few decades isn't good enough, then I give up. Because it's like if you do your best and follow the Bible and love your children, make all these sacrifices for them, do everything for them, bend over backwards for them, and especially my wife is just an awesome mother. And I'm just thinking to myself, if that's not good enough, then nothing is. You know, excuse me for not walking on water here. But like I said, if I had a time machine and could go back and do it differently, I wouldn't even know what to change except just a little tweak here and there. That's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Okay? And so the third area, don't miss the third point. Judging people over whom you have no authority. Getting up and telling your congregation, well, you need to listen to all the testimony. You need to listen to all the facts. Like they're the jury. Like you're a lawyer getting up and saying, listen to all the testimony, make a decision. You know, this is the new IFB show. This is the Stronghold Baptist Church show where you get to be in the jury box and you get to decide, is Pastor Anderson guilty or is Pastor Anderson not guilty? You get to decide. You listen to all the faggots interviewing his children. You listen to all the testimony and you get to decide his guilt or innocence. Really? because no one ever asked your opinion. Because even if everything that these idiots were saying were true, then you know what? I'm still not violating scripture. So stay out of my house and stay out of my business. Amen.
Well, it just looks really bad, Pastor Anderson. You know what? I can understand why this would look bad. But you know why it doesn't look bad? Me? Because I was freaking there. And it doesn't matter how many videos come out. Doesn't matter how many of my lame, weak pastor friends turn on me. It doesn't matter how many of them throw me under the bus because they're getting blowback from their church members. It doesn't matter because you know what? It doesn't matter if everybody in the world tells me that things happened. I know they didn't happen because I was there. Like, you're never going to convince me that things happened when I was there.
Yeah, but it looks bad.
Well, maybe it looks bad to you. It doesn't look bad from where I'm standing. It looks to me like a bunch of rebellious, lying children. But again, if you are foolish enough to believe their wild-eyed tales, to believe that for 18 and a half years, no one noticed any of these things, even though we're taking them to Pico's pool 5 days a week, and obviously they're dressed modestly at the pool, but they're still stripping down to the, you know, boys are in trunks, girls are in modest swim dresses and so forth. But you know what? We're in the community. We've been plugged into the community for the last 20 years. And you're going to believe that all these wild stories of all this wild abuse that would make slave owners in the 1800s blush. Okay. But funny, none of their backs tell the story. Right? Even if you believed all these wild things, at the end of the day, you're still biblically stupid for three reasons. And that's why these pastors have no excuse. You say, give grace to these pastors. I'm not going to. Amen. You want to give grace to these pastors? I'm not going to. Because you know what? If they got up and said, well, Pastor Anderson should step down because his kids are idiots. He raised four idiots, therefore he should step down. Then they'd have a point. I would see their point on that. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I mean, that actually makes sense. That's at least logical. But that's not what they're saying. They are slandering me, and they're getting up and saying, Pastor Anderson's abusive. Believe the victims. We're siding with the children. And saying, I side with the children, I side with the victims, Pastor Anderson's an abuser, okay, is showing that you're biblically stupid in three areas. Number one, you're rejecting the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. And they're openly rejecting it, folks. Number two, they're participating in someone dishonoring their parents, which is reprehensible and nowhere taught in Scripture. And but what about this testimony? What about that testimony? At the end of the day, you're participating in children dishonoring their parents. There's no excuse for it. You are rejecting the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment.
Yeah, but the electric cord. Yeah, well, the scourge of cords.
You are rejecting the Bible's teaching on corporal punishment. Fact. And number three, you are teaching your people to judge another man's marriage, another man's home life, another man's child rearing that you have no business over. And you know what? I've pastored for 18 and a half years. I've never gone into your home and told you how to run things in your home. Have I? Have I come in and say, hey, you need to do your marriage this, you got to do the child rearing, you got to do it my way. I've never stood and judged. And you know what? There have been times when I've seen people do things in their marriage that I didn't approve of or I didn't agree with. Or they did child rearing in a way where I thought they were too lenient or too strict. But I didn't say, you know, oh, that's it. You got to do it my way. I just said, well, you know what? That's their decision. And look, I'm tired of people acting like I'm getting all crazy, unhinged, wild man up here. First of all, anybody who's listened to me preach for a long time knows that this is how I am all the time. I mean,
This is who I am, folks. I'm passionate about what I preach. Number one. Number two, you've never been in my shoes. How would you like to be trashed online to hundreds of thousands of people and accused of all kinds of crazy things and all these lies and slanders being told about you? How would you feel? Would you be mad? How would you like to spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours investing in someone for them to turn around and spit in your face? How would you feel? How would you like that? Is that what you want your children to grow up and do to you? I am preaching the words of soberness and good doctrine up here. And you can say that I got a little wild, got a little loud, got a little crazy. I want to know what I said tonight that wasn't biblical. Because you know what? And here's the thing about these 3 points. Don't miss these 3 points. Even if you only agree with one of them, these guys are idiots. And I'm not going to be gracious to them. They are slandering a man of God. And it's sorry, but this is a big deal. It's a big deal when you are going to call out and slander a man of God publicly. Well, you know what? Right back at you, buddy. You're an idiot. You're disqualified because your wife's a railer. How about that? The Bible says that their wives can't be slanderers. Isn't that one of the qualifications for the pastor? Right back at you. Your wife's a slanderer. You're not qualified. Because I know they're all watching this because they can't stop watching my preaching. They're going to be watching me for the rest of their lives. And you know what? I really hope that if you're sitting there, and I want to say this, and I want to make this as clear as I can possibly make it right now. Okay? I told Pastor Dave Berzins on Tuesday, I said, if you're going to make a video, come out with it right now. Because I'm sick of this crap where it's every day a different video, every day a different pastor. I'm trying to live my life. I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to do a work for God here. And I don't want to deal with this stupid crap every day. If you're going to do it, do it. That's right. Oh, I'm not going to make a video, Pastor Anderson. And then, funny, this morning was the video. So how does that work? I guess that's not lying. I guess that's not lying to say on Tuesday, I'm not going to make a video, and then to get up on Sunday morning and make a video. And why do you bring that up? Because I want to tell every pastor out there watching me online, if you're going to come out against me right now, you coward, weakling. Come out now, show that you're biblically stupid now, or shut up and forever hold your peace. And I want to say to our church right now, if you are here and you're offended by this sermon, and you don't like my tone, and you don't like how I'm doing business right now, do me a favor and leave the church today. You say, I'm on the fence right now, Pastor Anderson. Well, here, let me just push you over. I'm on the fence, Pastor Anderson. Well, you know what? Let me push you over the edge, please. And I hope that this sermon will push you over the edge so that you can, you can just hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. Amen. Because I am not going to have this thrown in my face every day for the rest of my life. Okay? You know what? You want to go to YouTube and make a little video? Go make your video right now. That goes for everybody in this room. That goes for everybody out there on the internet. Go make your little video. Say whatever you want. You want to quit the church? Quit the church. Do it now. You want to talk crap? Talk crap now. Come see me after the service if you want to leave. And you know what? If you want to leave on good terms, come to me and tell me, and I will bless you in the name of the Lord and send you happily on your way. You want to lie and slander me? Then you know what? God will curse you for slandering a man of God and dishonoring parents. Because that's what you're participating in. And so, look, I'm just ripping off the Band-Aid tonight. Okay? I don't want to sit here and have people, hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you about this, Pastor. Hey, when you got a few minutes, I know you're busy, Pastor, but I want to rub your nose in this a little more, Pastor. Sorry, I'm done. I got nothing more to say. I've said everything I want to say. My Sunday morning sermon from last week is my final word on the matter. And hell will freeze over before I apologize to any of these four wicked children of mine that are saying these things about me. Hell will freeze over before I apologize to any of them. I would rather die. I would rather be put in prison than to kowtow and be terrorized by a bunch of rebellious punks. I'm not going to apologize for being a man of God. I'm not going to apologize for following the Bible. I'm not going to apologize for being a great and loving parent. And if you don't like it, get out.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you so much for the clear teachings, Lord, that our retarded society doesn't believe in, Lord. But thank you so much that we're not built on the shifting sands of 2024 American culture, Lord, but that we are actually built on the rock of your word, Lord. I pray that you would just open the eyes of people to what's actually going on, the satanic attack that's happening, and what the Bible actually says, dear God. And I pray that you would punish the evildoers who are conniving and scheming together. Lord, I pray that you would avenge me of mine enemies. And Lord God, I pray that these wicked pastors who are engaging in slander and dishonoring of parents and setting light by father and mother, Lord God, I pray that they would repent and that they would get right with you before they are severely punished. And Lord, if they refuse to repent, I pray that you would punish them, Lord, for their wickedness. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Take your songbooks together. Go to hymn number 6. Hymn number 6. Beneath the cross of Jesus. Hymn number 6. We'll sing it out together on that first verse now. Hymn number 6. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Number 6. Sing it out.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land.
Good things tonight. We are dismissed.